clients, your coworkers, and your industry want to hear and see your story. With social media, it has never been easier to tell it. By simply being active on social media and sharing your experiences of work and your industry, you become a well-known, credible expert in your space. Sure, you're an expert already because you've worked at becoming the best in your niche, but does anyone know that? Not if you don't start sharing your expertise with an audience. Don't get stuck in the old mentality that social is about personal use only. Sure, a lot of people have made money without it, but they are part of the old guard. Having a social media presence is becoming increasingly important in a variety of industries, if not essential. Think about how many people will Google you before pulling the trigger on doing business with you. Social media is to be used to make you stand out as an expert in your industry, and here's how you do it. Number one, create pages on all social media platforms. All platforms. You need a Facebook page, Twitter page, Instagram page, YouTube page, LinkedIn page, and Snapchat account. Some people might tell you to focus on just a couple platforms, but I say you need a strong presence on all of them. Hey, it's what those late nights and weekends are for. But if you really can't deal with all those platforms, then focus on LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook. Number two, like, comment, and share content. You may not be ready to generate and create your own content, and that's okay for now. You will eventually need to create content to fully build a personal brand. But to get started, you can simply like, comment, and share other people's content. Share videos that relate to your industry. If you drive a truck for a living, post cool pictures of trucks. Share articles that relate to the trucking industry. Use other people's content to help position you as someone who knows the industry. But a word of caution. As someone who puts out a ton of original content, nothing pisses me off more than when someone takes my content and passes it off as their own. Simply give credit where credit is due and link back to the source, because nothing makes me like you more on social media than when you share my content and say nice things about me. Do the same for influencers in your industry. This helps you get attention from them, and when you start to generate your own content, they will return the favor. Number three, hit record. Recording videos are the best way to create content, build an audience, and max out your personal brand. You may not believe it, but everyone is interested in your expertise, so hit record. You've got a camera right on your phone. Do what my coach and friend Hank Norman says to do. Show me you doing what you do best. Let me give you a real-life example of how your personal brand can make you more valuable and then make you more money. I have a friend, Victoria, in the apartment leasing business. Right out of school, she started working in the front office of a large apartment complex, and her job was to lease out 1, 2, or 3-bedroom apartments. Victoria was always friendly to prospective clients and continued that friendliness online. She created social media pages to reach out online to anyone who came to her building, and she began to create a following. This became her tribe, as author Seth Godin calls it. She started to make videos, taking her online audience on a tour of the 1-bedroom with granite countertops and wall-to-wall carpet, or the 5-bedroom penthouse apartment with a view of the city skyline. She would take her audience on a tour of the pool in the apartment complex and the attached clubhouse gym. Victoria drew an audience because she wasn't just showing apartments. She was showing a lifestyle people could visualize themselves in. When people were ready to move, they would think of her first. Because of the personal brand she'd built, people often felt a connection to Victoria and trusted her even before they met her. People didn't just reach out to her more often. They were eager to close a deal with her quickly. In this way, she brought value to her apartment complex and her employer and put more money in her pocket along the way with more commissions. But that's not all. Victoria noticed a new apartment complex being built right around the corner. She saw that the new complex was better, with more amenities, and she quickly realized that they would be a formidable competitor to her complex. She knew they would need leasing agents, so she interviewed with them for a new job. During that interview, Victoria showed the owner her content and social media following, along with all her expertise in the apartment leasing industry. The owner was immediately able to see the incredible value Victoria brought in connecting with prospective leasers and closing deals quickly, and hired her on the spot. Victoria is now one of the top leasing agents in her town. Think about it. Would your new potential employer hire someone who says they'll do a good job? Or would they prefer to hire someone who can show them proof of it through their video content and built-in audience? Of course, employers want the candidate with a personal brand. You bring automatic customers with you, and you will be hired over someone who doesn't bring in business. Bingo. You just brought more value than the next applicant, and you can charge more for your value. Period. End of story. Get a raise in a week. All right, let's get real. This is my foolproof method for how to get a raise as an employee within 1 week of doing what I explain in this section. Think about the power in that statement. You are going to get yourself a raise, but first, you need to make sure you deserve one. Because you are in charge, you are also now the chief marketing officer of yourself. This is a phrase my friend Bethany Williams, author of the book 3 Days to a Raise, uses often. Bethany says, and I fully agree, that people need, in every position, within every company, to be the chief marketing officer of them. Time to become the CMO of you to get a raise. Time to market and sell yourself. How? Here is what Bethany and I suggest. And you've got a week to do it all. Number one. Know your value. Go on www.salary.com or www.glassdoor.com and see what the market is paying for a position similar to the one you currently hold. What is the annual salary or the going hourly rate being paid for your position? Pull the salary ranges and see where you stand. Number two, build ammo. You need to keep a folder, either digital or hard copy, of everything you have done and achieved. Did you win Salesperson of the Month? Great. Print out the results showing you at the top. Have your customers left you a review on Google or Facebook and mentioned your name specifically? Great. Screenshot it and put it in your folder. Just as important as it is to solve problems and add value, you need to be sure you're tracking that value. Remember Jason who showed me that he generated $400,000 in sales from his newsletter? I couldn't argue with those hard results. Number three, know your numbers. What are your sales? How much business have you generated? How much have you saved or made for the company because of the ideas you created and executed on? Have your information ready before you walk into your boss's office. Number four, collect testimonials. Your best customers or coworkers, if you have done exceptional work and produced exceptional results, will write you a testimonial. This could be on paper or on Yelp, Google, or Facebook. Wherever they posted it, you want it because it will be part of your annual report, which brings me to number five, create an annual report. This is not the time for verbal-only communication. Nobody on Wall Street takes the CFO's word for the results of their company. CFOs create an annual report, and you should too. The annual report is simply a presentation of the results you've had over the past year. Create your annual report as a PowerPoint or a handout. It should include a summary of your results, highlights of all of your successes, and the value you have brought to the company. Don't go light here. Put your best foot forward. Number six, know how much you want. Now that you know your money gap, your value, what your position pays at other companies, and how much value you have brought to your employer, you need to know how much to ask for. Don't leave it up to your boss. Don't buy into the BS from human resources when you hear, we can only give 3% raises. Ask for how much you want. It doesn't matter if you're the employee or the employer. You need to view yourself as your own business. This means understanding the problem you solve, understanding the value you bring to solving the problem, and, key point, understanding that regardless of the position you hold, you must connect it to revenue generation. Everyone in every organization is their own salesperson. Move up or move out. What if you followed my plan and you still don't get a raise? You will need to go back and re-listen to the last chapter, skill up, and bring more value to the situation. Once you do, present again. And if you do this and you still do not get a raise, then do what my friend Andrea did and prepare to leave. You have to get paid your value. My friend Andrea would come through Dallas a few times a year for work. She's in the fashion business, and four times per year, Dallas has a large apparel mart in which designers and manufacturers present their seasonal products. When I was in the beginning stages of starting my company, I was straight broke all the time. So I loved when Andrea would roll through Dallas because she found me to be good company and would extend an invitation to me when she was entertaining clients on her corporate account. But every few months, as she came to present her products at the mart, she was always with a new company. When I would ask her why, she always said the new company paid her more. She was never afraid to leave her current employer for more money and is now a top executive for a New York City fashion company. She understood her value. She had the confidence to always over-deliver and was never afraid to remind her superiors of the quality of work that she did. Value deserves payment, especially for those who have the guts and who are willing to ask for it. Andrea, every 6 months, would go into her boss's office and remind them of the value she brought to the company and ask for a raise. When they agreed with her and gave her a raise, she stayed. When they agreed with her and didn't give her a raise, for whatever the reason, budget issues, whatever the hocus pocus the company created for not paying her for the value she brought, she left. She would go to another employer and get paid what she deserved. If you're growing meteorically, there may come a point when you outgrow your company. The more of an expert you are, the more value you create. And you might find the rest of your company can't keep up with you. Each and every time I saw Andrea repeat this process, skill up, commit to being the best, bring value far above the job description and expectations, go in to ask the boss for a raise every few months, get the raise, or you might have to leave your job if you're not getting paid your value. But never leave your job without having another one lined up. Or better yet, create a job for yourself and be your own personal ATM. How? That's what we'll get into in the next chapter. Action steps. Know your value. Research your comparable salary today. Find out how much other companies are paying people in your position. How are you valuable? Write down all the ways in which you've created value for your organization in the past year. Create your annual report. Start to make copies of your awards. Graph your quarterly results in Excel and then print them out. Then, put them in a three-ring binder to be used in your presentation for a raise. Update your LinkedIn profile today. Use your recent awards or articles you have written to make your profile more interesting to your followers. Chapter 9, step number 6, create your personal ATM. Turn your hobby into your personal ATM. You are your own ATM, not your employer or your industry. You are your own personal ATM. The key is to learn how to tap into it so that it spits out cash whenever you need it. not just when your employer decides it's time to pay. So how do you get that extra cash to live your lifestyle by design? You turn your hobby into your personal ATM. For example, here's what my friend Sandy did. Sandy was a teacher in Southern California. She loved being a teacher, and it was part of her lifestyle by design. She loved to help kids thrive and reach their potential. It's who she is. Avid fitness buff, triathlete, and extreme sport competitor, she made her life about fulfilling her personal potential, and teaching gave her that outlet. She was so respected that most of her students would come to her to ask for advice and letters of recommendation during their junior and senior years as they began to apply for college. In perfect Sandy fashion, she wanted to do the best possible job, and she put her heart and soul into each and every kid she helped, and the results proved it. Her students started to get into the top colleges, and everyone knew that the consultation and roadmap she provided her students had a lot to do with it. Still, as much as Sandy loved it, her job was taking a toll on her. Because she wanted to deliver so much value at all times and do such a good job, she was working longer hours than the already long hours of a teacher. She was giving many, many late nights and weekends to help her students, but with no extra pay. This was no big deal in the beginning, but once she and her husband had their first child, it all changed. A new baby means having less or no free time. So Sandy backed off on the workload because her new obsession was her baby girl. But then something magical happened that doesn't always happen in business. Clients, in this case, type A parents, came calling. These were parents who wanted the best for their kids and would stop at nothing to make it happen. They still wanted Sandy's help when it came to their children's college applications, and they came calling with cash in their hands. A light bulb went off in Sandy's head. She started to see how creating a side business, a side hustle, if you will, could allow her to charge for this assistance, earn extra money, and who knows, maybe turn it into something bigger. And as you predicted, that is exactly what happened. Sandy began to charge thousands of dollars for her college admissions counseling services, and within her first year, she realized that this was going to be her full-time career. Her lifestyle by design now included her baby, her husband, and her business. She makes four times what she did as a teacher and basically works hard for just 3 months out of the year, still loving and caring for her baby all the while. Sandy turned her passion for teaching into a hugely profitable personal ATM, which led to a lifestyle by design that fits her perfectly. When it comes to expanding your earnings, the best thing for you to do is take everything we've talked about when it comes to building your superpower and finding a niche, doing the research and analysis, and looking for the best option to create your own side hustle, your own personal ATM. It doesn't have to turn into a full-fledged business like Sandy's, but good for you if it does. But if you've maximized your earning potential at your primary job, why not use those late nights and weekends to earn a secondary income and make yourself a millionaire? Persistence wins in business. There's no turning back now. We walked down the roadmap this far, and now it's go time. You have an idea. And you are now going to execute on it to create your own personal ATM. It might turn into a full-fledged business and a new career for you, or maybe it will just be your side hustle. In either situation, there are certain things that must happen to reduce the odds of failure that plague all new businesses. 50% of all new businesses close in the first year, and 90% are closed by year five. The odds are tremendously stacked against you and me if we are like most people, but we are not. My business has stood the test of time. 2018 will be our 23rd year in business. During that time, I have never, not once, missed a payroll for an employee, and we pay every Friday. Every single Friday since 1995, I have scraped together enough money to cover every single payroll check that my company has ever issued except one. Mine. That's right. On countless weeks, my employees got paid and I didn't. But to me, that was just a temporary setback, a bump in the road, a little hiccup. You will need to have that same outlook as you venture out and build your own personal ATM. So let's make sure you learn from me, and together we will build a business that will stand the test of time. Your mama may have told you that the most important thing is to just start. That may be true of a lot of things, but when it comes to running a business, the most important thing is to stay in the fight long after the start. The ability to have strong self-esteem, bring value to whatever situation you are in, skill up, do the research and analysis, execute, and then fight like hell and keep fighting like hell is how you will make more money. My company has lasted for 22 years, made the Inc. magazine top 500, 5,000 fastest growing companies in America for 2014, 2015, 2016, and 2017, as well as the Dallas 100 fastest growing companies in 2014, 2015, and 2016. Because we focus on always executing on the following areas each and every day. You will need to do the same to make it. Company culture. Just as you've identified and put into place your own personal core values, you need to do the same when it comes to running a business. Your company culture becomes the core of your personal ATM, especially when you move it from a hobby to your full-time venture. Company culture is the heartbeat of your personal ATM. It doesn't matter if you are a one-person shop or you grow it to 1,000 people. Your company culture is the single most important thing you will need to get right. Get this right. Even if you start with a company of just you or you choose to grow it, you will have ease in hiring, firing, managing, growing, and motivating yourself and your staff. If you don't, your personal ATM will stop spitting out tokens. It will crumble, and I don't want that to happen to you. The key questions you need to ask yourself and answer yourself when creating your company culture are, number one, how do you want this business to finish? Yes, before you start your personal ATM, you need to see its future. Do you want it to replace your career? Do you want it to eventually go public? Do you want to sell it? Do you want to give it to your kids? Or do you want it to just throw off a few thousand extra bucks a month? Number two, what are the core values of my business? Much as you did for yourself, now list no more than four core values to guide your company. These are the things that you and your team stand for. They will be vital in your long-term success. Here are the four core values at my company. Company profits. Our creative spirit cannot be enjoyed to the fullest extent without consistent profitability. Personal happiness. We are here because we want to be here. Customer loyalty. We always recommend the program that benefits our client before benefiting us. Preserving our reputation. Our business practices are predicated on ensuring our superior reputation within our industry. Number three, what do you want the look and feel of the business to be? Literally, down to the paint colors, the uniform colors, the floors, the tile, the chairs, and the computer monitors. Do they represent you? Are you inspired by bold colors, but is your office painted white? Think of it all so that before you open the doors and serve the first customer, you have it planned out. Number four, what are you willing to tolerate? What type of behavior will you accept from your staff, your clients, and your vendors? Will you offer different compensation plans? Will you allow clients to pay you late? All of it matters. And definitely don't play games with cash or the IRS. Everything is traceable and can eventually come back to bite you. Keep your accounting straight. It will provide you strength and credibility in the marketplace and allow you to sleep a lot better at night. Number 5. What are you going to charge your customers? You already did your research and analysis before you started your personal ATM, and you know there is a market for it. Now set your prices for profitability. How much profit? I will tell you, at a bare minimum, that you need to operate at a 10% net profit margin after you pay yourself. If you can make more than 10%, go for it. But as a starting point, you must earn 10% of every dollar you bring in. This means that if you generate $100,000 in sales revenue, you need to have $10,000 left over after you pay yourself. Working your ass off for no profit to show for it at the end of the year will get you nowhere. You must make profits, period. You can't get a business off the ground if no one's heard of you. Nobody knows you. You want to believe that you have some secret sauce that makes what you do valuable to the marketplace. But until you promote it, your potential customers are never going to find you. Promotion can come in various forms, but I can assure you that you will need to do more of it. In my early days of getting CFF off the ground, I took promotion straight to where my customers were, truck stops. I had a sign made that said truck financing here. The sign had two wooden sticks on either side that would slide into the rear door jams of my old Suburban. I would get up early on Saturday and Sunday mornings and drive to truck stops all over Dallas. I would park, open up the rear doors, put up my sign, and within minutes, truckers would come up to me and talk about financing. It was the simplest and most straightforward form of promotion. When it comes to getting attention, anything goes. You need to use every chance you get to tell people about your personal ATM. Do the same on your social media pages. They are to be used to promote you, your company brand, and your personal brand. If you spent time building a personal brand, now is the time to use it to promote your personal ATM. Find ways to over-deliver value. Deliver value greater than your customers' expectations in all situations. Delivering average results won't keep you in the market for long. You might be able to get away with average, middle-of-the-road products and/or services when the economy is good and everyone has money and is willing to spend it. But when the economy turns downward, and it always does, only exceptional stays in business. Always give more than your customer expects. Let's take a real-life example from my personal trainer, Josh. Josh has worked out with me for almost 2 years now. He is in great shape and knows his stuff, but like you and me, he needs more money. After many workouts together, he finally asked me for some financial advice. I showed him how he could raise his rates if he found ways to deliver more value to his clients. Josh was charging $50 per session and had 15 weekly clients who worked out with him, an average of 3 sessions each week. That translates to $2,250 per week or $9,000 per month. In Josh's case, all he did was work people out. No meal plans. No videos, no body fat index testing, no nutritional or meal prep advice. In short, he offered his clients limited value. He delivered his workouts by showing up prepared each time, but he didn't really over-deliver. You can't increase prices without increasing value and over-delivering. We changed that. I worked with him to create value-added programs, and within 1 week, he put all of them into action. Josh signed up for an email marketing program. There are tons, like Constant Contact and MailChimp. Loaded in his clients' email addresses, and boom, he had a platform to get value-added messages to them at any time. He created content via a simple one-page weekly email newsletter that went out on Monday mornings at 6 a.m. In the newsletter, he offered great recipes for nutritious and easy-to-cook meals. He made nutritional suggestions along with vitamin and supplement recommendations. He told his readers about local farmers' markets in the area and what to buy and eat that was in season. Lastly, he started to record himself doing workouts and embedded them into the newsletter so that his clients could do them on their off days. Get the picture? He started adding a foundation of value-added services that informed, educated, and entertained his client base. Total time per week, 2 additional hours. The result? He was able to raise his rate from $50 per session to $60 per session. Sure, $10 may not seem like much, but he did end up losing a few clients. They didn't see the value out of the newsletter because they didn't want value, just a cheaper price. I told Josh not to worry. When you add new value, you need to test your client base and the value you bring to them. In Josh's case, he had some cheap clients and he was not bringing enough value to them, so they left him. If you raise your prices without providing enough value to your clients, some will leave you too, and they should. Value is the key in today's crowded and cloudy marketplace. You must over-deliver value that exceeds the price you charge. Since Josh lost some clients, he had to get to selling to replace them and find a few more. Only now, he was starting with a new price, $60, and a new product offering. He wasn't just any old trainer. He was now Josh the Super Trainer, who cared about his clients more than anyone else, and proved it each and every week through the content he put in his newsletter. He was now focused on your muscles, your mind, your food intake, and even your relationship. He started asking for referrals from his existing clients and encouraged them to forward his newsletter to their family, friends, and coworkers. I also had him talk to some of the busiest trainers at his gym and ask for their overflow, the clients they were just too busy to take on. Within 2 weeks, he replaced the clients who dropped out when he raised his prices. It was ridiculously easy to replace them, and he actually added 3 more regulars to his client base for a total of 18. The end result? Josh now has 18 very satisfied clients who get his very informative weekly newsletter and can watch his specific workouts on their off days. His new clients are all paying $60 a session for 3 sessions a week, which equals $12,960 per month, an increase of $3,960 over what he was making before. By over-delivering and therefore creating more value, he gave himself a nice fat pay raise of $47,520 per year. Understand scale. Without question, the biggest regret I have in my business career is that I didn't understand the importance of scale, getting big quickly. When your personal ATM takes off and starts generating income, you may be tempted to keep it small so that it's comfortable and easy to manage. Big mistake. Buying into BS advice on why staying small was the way to go cost me a decade of my career and millions of dollars. Yes, I said millions of dollars. I simply waited too long to get big. When I finally built a business plan to scale my business up to $100 million a year, everything changed for me. I was finally able to make up for all of the years I stayed too small. If having a big personal ATM matters to your lifestyle by design, it can happen. I'm living proof of it. If you want to get big, start thinking about how you can best scale up now. Are you going to bring on more people, become known in your niche, offer more products and services? My entire argument in this audio program is that you need more money and you need to stay in accumulation until you get to rich. So when your personal ATM starts to generate the profits, you need to keep the cash. Hoard it. Don't spend it. Don't turn the thermostat down. Don't stop feeding your reserve account. Action steps. Build your business by design. Write down ideas that you can turn into your personal ATM. Be specific and detailed. Leave no stone unturned. Build it out before you start it. Bring value. Write down three things you do that are valuable. Now, write down next to them three things you could do to make them even more valuable. Boom. You now have nine ways to deliver even more value. Core values, take two. Just like you did for yourself, write down your core values that you want to be part of your business. Put the doorman in place and don't let anything get in the way of your core values. Business by design. Too many people stumble through business just as they stumble through life, going where the current takes them. Write out a detailed plan of what you want your business to look like and don't turn back until you've made that a reality. Conclusion. Don't stop moving the needle. Pick your number. I've done the hard math for you. I've offered you tools and strategies that I have used to close my financial gap and make up for lost time. But in order to execute, you will need to do one more thing. Pick your number. The reason most of us never reach financial success is because we have no idea what our number is. The one we want and need to get us to the end, to the ultimate goal of how much money we want and need over our lifetime and beyond. When we make a decision, it requires us to commit, and most of us don't want to commit. Why? Because we're scared of failing. It's the same reason we don't like to set goals, because it sucks when we don't meet them. That mindset is disastrous when it comes to money. How much money do you really want? Is it 1 million? 5 million? 10 million? 100 million? Now that we have covered so much more ground together, I want you to reevaluate and pick the number that will allow you to live your lifestyle by design. Set your sights on getting to that number. Commit to throwing all of your efforts into getting there. Don't look back and don't slow down until you get there. Let me go through that again so we all understand. Look at everything you added up in chapter 4 to determine the annual number you need to live the life that you want and multiply it by the number of years you want to live in that fashion. That's your number. Therefore, if you want to live a lifestyle by design that requires $100,000 a year and you want to live like that for 40 years, your number will be $4 million. Don't be scared by that number. Remember, this audio program is your wake-up call, and you have to adjust your mindset to think much bigger than you have in the past. You have to think like a game facer. If you can expand your mind to believe that you're capable of achieving that number and focus your grit on getting you there, you will get there. The goal is to earn as much as possible for as long as possible. That's how you get into rich. That's how you maintain your rich and work toward wealthy for future generations so that your kids don't have to start from zero like you and I had to. You must pick your number and build the plan to reach it. That plan to reach it is inside this audio program, but here is your recap. Number one. Wake up. You don't have enough money, and chances are you are in a state of false positive. Number two, how do you want to live? Design it and find out how much you need to reach it. Number three, what is your money gap? Number four, evaluate your money mindset. Are you a blamer, a dreamer, or a game facer? Number five, are you in broke, in accumulation, or in rich? Number six, can you get to rich as an employee, or do you need to become an employer? Number seven, skill up. Number 8, earn up. Number 9, leverage up. Number 10, execute. Number 11, pick your number. The key is to skip the upgrades today so you can enjoy the upgrades in the future. Stay true to yourself. Only now you know yourself better than you did before this audio program. Don't stop moving the needle of net worth. Reevaluate if you are making enough money for the kind of life you want to live every single year. I reevaluate myself and my progress towards living my lifestyle by design every Christmas. And I ask myself if it's easier to buy presents this year than last year. It helps me think about whether or not I'm moving the needle. You have to create a scoreboard, a barometer, a metrics test that proves to you that you are moving the needle of net worth at levels meaningful enough to get you closer to the finish line. I use Christmas because I can remember purchasing Christmas gifts for my boys at the dollar store. And every toy, every sock, every packet of underwear or undershirts made me cringe at the cost. That's why every Christmas is a point of reflection for me. My Christmas reflection is the scoreboard that I now use to determine if I made more money than I did last year. Of course, you can use your budget, your bank statements, your personal financial statement, or whatever math you want to use. But I know deep down, even after I've done all that stuff, and the math tells me that I'm far better off this Christmas than I was last year, that if I'm not emotionally more confident in my purchasing power this year than I was last year, then I'm not moving the needle of my net worth. Every quarter, I suggest you take out your personal financial statement and redo it. This will help you stay focused on moving the needle of net worth often. We are close to the end now, and we have covered so much ground. I'm so proud of you for getting this far, and I hope two things. One, this information has been helpful. That would mean so much to me to know that the process that I have taken to secure the financial future of myself, my family, my employees, my clients, and my vendors was helpful to you. I'm also hopeful that it won't take you as long as it took me. You can do it faster if you use these strategies. You can beat me, and I want you to. Number 2, you are special. I know I yelled at you a lot, but it's only because I knew you could take it. You would have never listened this far if you were not ready to go to the next level. And the next level is attainable for you. You are now in game facer territory. Whatever the chains of your upbringing, the advice you got or didn't get, they're all broken. Now let's get you rich. Scaling way up matters more than ever. Keep dreaming big. Keep going for more and more revenue. All of it matters. My brother-in-law John's story is the reason for you need more money. Bad things happen to good people, and John was one of the good ones. But more than anything, John's story made me realize two things. First, those bad things, whether they affect your health, career, or living situation, don't affect just you. They impact everyone around you. Second, a lot of those repercussions, such as emotional pain, worries about the future, or just a temporary hit to your ego, are solved by having more money. It may seem obvious that money helps solve problems, but as I travel and speak to people, I'm constantly amazed by how few of us do anything to improve our money situation. If you take nothing more from this audio program, please take that concept with you. Money matters, and we need more of it. You made it through. So I want to thank you and share how the story of my brother-in-law John concluded. I was conducting our standard morning scrum meeting at CFF when my phone started to ring. It was Rocky, and I didn't answer because we were in the meeting. But when Rocky wants to be heard, she makes sure she gets heard. so she kept calling. I picked up on the third call, and she told me what I feared was coming. John had just passed, and she was on her way to the hospital. I told my team to carry on without me, and I dropped everything to get to the hospital too. Almost 1 year to the day, after our families got the grim news of John's cancer diagnosis, we got the worst news any family ever wants to hear. John died at 9:22 a.m. If you haven't been with a person and their families minutes after their death, you can't go there with me. But if you have, you know what I saw and heard. John's wife, Lori, was screaming as his only son, John, crawled into the hospital bed with his father and refused to let go. His daughter, Hannah, was inconsolable, and so was my Rocky. My mother-in-law, Gigi, was gray and motionless. Every single nurse on that floor, and even some who were not working at the time, raced in to give their condolences. He had won them over, too. They cried just like we did, because after seeing so much pain on that cancer floor over the years, they knew that this patient, my brother-in-law, Rocky's brother, Gigi's only son, Lori's high school sweetheart and husband, and Hannah's, John's, Zoe's, and Lizzie's father, John Brian Ibert, was special. Amid our grief, John looked peaceful. His fight was over, and he was ready to meet his keeper. But the rest of us were not ready to let him go. John died sooner than we expected. Just 2 weeks before, the doctors had blasted him with a massive chemo cocktail in a last-ditch effort to kill the cancer. We all knew it was going to be a massive dose, and the doctors said if it didn't work, he would have 3 to 6 months to live. But pneumonia set in, and so did a virus in his bloodstream, and he was gone within 2 weeks. John's funeral went just the way he would have wanted it. Plenty of Guns N' Roses played in the background as pictures of his life played on the big screen. People came from everywhere. It was a little like the ending of the movie Big Fish. People who were just characters in the stories he told us all appeared. My wife Rocky says she sees him often in her dreams. It makes her so happy when she dreams about him. She says he has a glow about him, and there's always a bird with him. We all still feel his presence in our lives. On numerous occasions, we have had a single bird appear in our house. We have no idea how it gets in. No door or window is open, yet we find a bird inside our house, sitting calmly on a piece of furniture until we open the door to let it out. Sometimes, Rocky won't open the door for a while, so she can take in as much of the moment as she can. She knows it's John checking on her, and it makes her happy. I have flown countless miles on airplanes, and for all of the airports I have been in, I have never seen a bird inside an airport terminal. But on two separate occasions, when I was traveling with Rocky after John died, a bird has come up and perched itself on a chair close to her. Try to tell Rocky the bird is not John? She'll kick your ass, and I'll be right there with her. You now know how it happened. How John's story of being a wonderful son, brother, father, and husband made the lives of everyone around him better. You also know what happens when you don't pay attention, close attention, to your money situation. Regardless of how sweet and kind you are, it can cause pain and suffering for those around you long after you are gone. We don't usually have what we think we have, especially when it comes to time. When it comes to our health, our finances, or our careers, we put off fixing our problems because we think we have time to make it up. And then, one day, you get the news that your time is up. Prepare early. Money is emotionless. Money doesn't care that you are nice and loving and caring. Money is its own animal. It makes no guarantees or promises. It responds when you give it attention and can bite you in the ass when you don't. If you don't make money, understand it, skill up to earn it, save it, do research and analysis to invest and protect it, it will not be there for you. But when you put all the tools, tips, and strategies in this audio program into action and approach money with clarity and focus and effort, you will realize that it is just a cog in the wheel of your life. Once you master it, money becomes submissive and rolls over for you to dominate it. Stick to the roadmap. Congratulations. You've made it to the end of this audio program and are well on your way to having more money. Just stick to the roadmap, which will take you to where you want to go. If you want to get rich, you have to be tough. Set big, unattainable goals and then blow past them as you achieve more than you dreamed you were capable of. You deserve this. You are worthy. You have the skills. You can build your lifestyle by design. You can make up the gap created by your old ways. You're ready. You are a game facer. Drop me a note and keep me informed of your progress. We are together in your journey. Nothing would make me happier than to hear your story of how your success turned you into a fellow game facer and that you've blown past me. The ball is in your court. It always has been. You just needed a little motivation and guidance. I hope you take everything we have covered in this audio program and use it to reach each and every goal and dream you and your family deserve. Stay gritty, Matt. This is Matt Monero. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of You Need More Money. Wake up and solve your financial problems once and for all. This program was directed by Paul Rubin. Executive producer Karen Jakonski. Text copyright 2018 by Matt Monero. Production copyright 2018 Penguin Random House LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.